Alright everybody, how you doing? This is Marshall Couture, also known as Complex in hip-hop circles, and you're listening to the Escape Artist Podcast. How you guys doing? I'm doing alright. It's a Tuesday, and just had some things I want to kind of discuss here. I don't think I ever really said that I'm going to do this every single week, like 100%. But that's kind of what I have been doing. I've missed a few weeks here and there, but I'm not gonna be, you know, strict to that necessarily. But I do like the fact that I've gotten into the habit of doing it every week, to the extent that when I don't do it, or even if I say, like, even this week, I'm like, I don't think I'm even going to do it, and here it is Tuesday morning, and I'm podcasting. So, you know, that habit is formed, and I am... like, it's almost like I feel weird if I don't do it. So, I like that. And that's one of my goals. Was to get into some better habits, especially with publishing and stuff. And creating content as well. And just creating art, working on art. I want to form that habit. When I initially started really thinking about habit forming... it was in regards to sketching every day, which I actually did pretty good at for a while. I created that sketch daily thing, and that's when I really kind of went gung-ho with it, and went through times where I did it every day, times I didn't do it at all for weeks, months, whatever, back and forth. Right now I'm on one of those waves of not doing it. But what happens is, I feel like when I sit down to do art, I have such little amounts of time to do it usually. Like, sometimes I have nice blocks, but then it's hard to focus, but that's a whole nother topic or whatever. But I feel like when I sit down, I want to do something that is producing more content, producing a comic or something I'm going to sell or put on a t-shirt or make into a print, make into stickers, whatever it is. And part of the reason why I feel that way is because of the, you know, financial pressures that I'm under constantly, it seems. So unfortunately the money does kind of push me to do things, but maybe I wouldn't even be as productive if it wasn't for that thing, you know? Which, it's kind of funny that the money pushes me to do that, because it's not like I really end up getting enough money, you know, payments from different things to actually make a difference. But the motivation is there to make it into something that would make a difference. So... but it's not all motivated by money. I mean, I'm still sitting here doing exactly what I want to do, like, really excited about these projects and stuff. But it is there. It's in the background, and it sometimes pushes me a little further in one direction than the other. Certainly never want that to be my 100% motivation, but it's in there. It's mixed in with the motivation there. And I think that's okay. You know, if you're doing this art and it's just a hobby, that's awesome. I wish it could be that way for me, but it's not exactly. Maybe one day I'll find another way to make money that is more satisfying and is more like where I'm making enough money or more than enough money, you know, to pay the bills and stuff, and I won't have to have that being any part of the motivation. I don't know, but I kind of like getting paid for art. It's extremely fulfilling, you know. It's like, people have talked about this before, and I think I've talked about it too. Getting money for your art is kind of like a certificate of appreciation. Even if it's a small amount, you know, it's like, wow, this person, you know, likes your stuff enough to actually part with some of his earnings, you know, his or her earnings to get some of your art in one fashion or another. And, you know, that's really encouraging, like, that people would care even that much. So yeah, didn't even really want to talk about money, but it came out. But like I said, I'm just glad that I'm forming this habit with the podcast. I want to reform that with the sketching. I'd like to get into doing sketchbooks that, aren't for publishing. I guess doing all this stuff is how I'm figuring out what I want to do. You know what I mean? Like, I don't figure this. I try to go in with a plan and a goal, and sometimes you don't really know how to put together a goal because you haven't tried enough stuff to really know what's realistic. So I'd say if you're having trouble finding out what you're going to do with a goal, like what you want your goal to be, instead of making goals, just do stuff. And just keep doing stuff until your goals start to morph into something and solidify into something. And that was part of the topic I wanted to talk about, was the fact that goals are kind of weird, you know, to me at least. Like, it's funny, like they say people who are like successful or whatever, I heard this a long time ago, but like a way long time ago, you know, they find that people who are successful have lists all over the place. Like, they just write lists all the time, and I think that has to do with goals and stuff. And that's me, you know. I'm constantly writing lists. I've always have been since I was a kid. And funny thing is, it's not like I write a list and then I have it somewhere where I go and check off the list as I go, type of thing. And I, you know, it's not like that for me. It's more, I guess they call it, the word maybe is cerebral or intuitive. I write the list, and there's something about writing a list that, I don't know what it does, but it does something. Because I'll write a list, put it to the side for to look at later, but I actually don't really look at it later most of the time. And I end up throwing a lot of lists out and stuff. But then I'll go back to them sometimes. I'll happen to come across one and I'll look at it. And it'll be like, I'll go through it, see, all right, did I do these things? Or did I just write a list for no reason? And funny enough, I'll go through the list and I'll be like, oh, all that stuff, I did it, you know? Or I did everything but one of these things. And it's interesting that just writing that list, I think, helps. So that's kind of a cool thing. I don't know what that means or how to more intentionally, like, apply that to my process. But for now, it's an intuitive thing, you know, or a cerebral thing, I guess. I don't know. Maybe there's probably a much better word. But, you know, it's something more in the subconscious and not so much conscious that I, of how I accomplish things. Maybe it just happens to be the way I think. I've come across some things where people are talking about people who are diagnosed with ADD and stuff, and, you know, they kind of get a bad rap, and they get, you know, people want to, you know, doctors would like to, like, medicate them sometimes from a really young age, and sometimes that's gone kind of out of control. Sometimes it's really needed, the medication. But, you know, there have been, like, studies out there that have shown that a lot of people who are, like, highly, highly successful, high achievers, have actually found out that those people did have ADD of some sort, you know. And, you know, what happens is they have a hard time focusing, but at the same time, when they do focus, it's like this crazy laser beam focus. You know, if they can focus long enough to finish a project, they will, like, you know, they'll put 120% in, you know. So, I don't know, you know, and I think I kind of have maybe that. I've never been diagnosed with it. I've never even talked to a doctor about that kind of thing. But sometimes I wonder if us artists, maybe it's just a byproduct of a more creative mind. Because I do notice that kind of tendency with a lot of my fellow artists, you know. They have a hard time focusing on things. You know, and everybody's different. Some people are more analytical. Some people are more, you know, operate out of a subconscious area. Different strokes for different artists. So yeah. That's kind of one thing I've been thinking about. And like I said, I'd like to... See, that's the thing. It's like, it's funny. Like, I want to say that I'd like to form that habit of sketching daily. But then, you know, Maybe I shouldn't. Maybe that's not, like, where I need to focus. I mean, I think it is. I definitely need to get better. Like, I sit here and do these projects and, you know, kind of do the fake it till you make it type of thing. I don't really know. Like, I haven't gone through traditional training except for in high school, like, for painting and stuff. But I do remember what I learned there and I try to apply it. So, you know, things like that. Sketching, you know, I need to get better at a lot of things. You know, my proportion is kind of screwy sometimes. And, you know, sometimes there's some weird folds in the clothing when I draw somebody with, you know, foldy clothing. My muscle and anatomy stuff is messed up sometimes. There's a lot of places where I need to improve, you know. Perspective. I mean, really, every aspect I could really level up on. But, you know, my style is cartoony, and for where it's at right now, it's passable. People seem to like to pay for it sometimes, so that's kind of cool. People say nice things, but you never know, you know, if they really mean it. Sometimes, you know, people are just being nice and stuff. That's cool. But I think there is a genuine thing out there where people like it. Because you get certain compliments and you know that they actually like it. And certain compliments where they may or may not like it. So there's that. The other thing I wanted to talk about was us as artists. And I know I kind of repeat a lot of this stuff, but, you know, I just keep thinking about similar things, and I keep building off of those things, and, you know, this podcast is, I want to get more, right now I'm kind of leaning more into the craft aspect. It's just what I'm thinking about more, and like I said, I got a little dried out with that whole, the selling and marketing stuff, and so right now I'm practicing some of that marketing stuff with the newsletter, doing that 2 to 3 times a week, and I have about 21 people on average who, you know, actually open up the newsletter. You can see all that behind the scenes with MailChimp, which is what I use, MailChimp.com. And I'm enjoying using that service. It's pretty good. But like I said, I have about 76 subscribers. I actually went through and deleted a few that I knew just weren't even caring or whatever. But about 76 subscribers, 22 of them or 21 of them will open it pretty much every time. So that's kind of cool. Starting out, it's a lower percentage of people who are opening it up, because the people who are on the list are, you know, people from old lists and stuff. Some of the emails might not be right. Some of them I got from my Bandcamp thing, because when people download a free album or whatever, they put their email in, so I throw that in into the mix. And they may just not care, but they put their email in so they could get the free download, and, you know, that's the price you pay, I guess. You're going to start getting emails from me, and they can always unsubscribe, and that's cool, too. I'm fine with unsubscribers, because, you know, you get only a certain limit on MailChimp, which I'm not even close to that limit, but you get a certain limit before you have to start paying, so... You know, I would rather have quality than quantity. You know, people who actually open it up, look at it, maybe click on something. Those are the people I want, you know, and that's cool. And I am getting some feedback. People seem to like it. Hopefully I'm not being too intrusive. I know it's a little bit aggressive with doing 2 to 3 newsletters a week. But, you know, some people do one a day. And like I said, if people don't like that, they can unsubscribe. And mine are quick, you know. They're not like, you know, this big, long, in-depth email every time. It's just usually an image of something I made and a little thing talking about my thoughts on it. Like, literally 2 or 3 sentences. And then usually a link to either buy the art piece or a print or something. And that's about it, you know. And I don't know if I've gotten any sales from doing that yet, but that's okay. I more want to just be get into the habit of publishing, you know, often, and keeping my stuff in people's minds, you know. So that's a little bit about what's been going on with the marketing. Obviously, the podcast. These things are going to be, like, kind of time-shifted. I'm not guaranteeing that I'll put things out, you know, on a weekly basis, but, you know, the podcast is pretty much weekly. But, you know, who knows? Maybe I'll go for a month and just have one or something. It seems like people are okay with that. If you're listening and you like these podcasts and, you know, you're like, no, I want to hear these every week, you know, let me know, you know. Or if you're like, oh, you know, I'm okay with, you know, hearing less or whatever, that's fine, or whatever, you know, just let me know. You can let me know anytime. Email me at plex@plexhop.com, or come to plexhop.com, go to Escape Artist area under podcast, and comment in the show notes area. Or, you know, there's all kinds of different ways to get a hold of me. A lot of people go through Twitter and Facebook and stuff like that. Cool. So, yeah. DeviantArt, all that. But, anyways. Next, I do want to go on to one more topic before, you know, we conclude with this. And the other topic was thinking about how precious we are with this stuff. And, you know, as artists, we tend to be super precious with this stuff. Even when we get to the point where we're learning how not to be precious and how to be more playful, we still are too precious with it. I mean, and the reason why I say that is, if you look at, and this is kind of more on the marketing side, but, you know, hear me out. I hope if you look at how industries work and stuff, and, you know, people argue we're not in the industrial age anymore. Well, yeah, we are still. You know, it's a mix, kind of. But, you know, it went more into what they call the information age. And I'm sure there's... people argue that there's another age, too. I don't know. I don't really keep up on that stuff. I don't know even the definitions 100%. But just from a layman's point of view... you know, things are getting less hands-on and more more have to do with knowing stuff and knowledge and working less, you know, pay per hour and more pay per project, with all different industries. With art, you can really see it too, especially. We've always been doing the freelance thing for a long time with illustration and stuff, which kind of goes more along that line. And then obviously the straight up information download type of thing, where you're getting money for bits and stuff, and which that's, you know, sometimes works and sometimes doesn't, because you can get things for free a lot. So, you know, business models are shifting to what's more and less effective and things like that. But, you know, the whole model of having a physical thing to sell, you know, a lot of the rules still are the same, you know, if that is a model that you're going towards at all. And I think what happens is we have to have a mix of those models, you know, some, especially with music and entertainment and art. You know, you can download PDFs, you know, for free or for fee. People are selling comics that way. And then you can also sell the physical. Same thing with music. You know, people can get the stuff for free, but people still buy them on iTunes and stuff too. So you do both, you know. My album is available, my Solar Wind Theory album is available for free on Bandcamp. You can get it just by putting your email in. Or you can go to iTunes and support and throw $10 or $9.99 on it. Or you can go to CD Baby and spend like five something on a physical CD, actually. So, funny enough, the physical CD is cheaper than the download. crazy. But things are changing, things are shifting. And what you have to do is look at what people will pay for, you know, and kind of work on that. It's interesting, Paul Kijiji of ProcessDiary.com, he just put out his third comic, and he's talking about, on his last podcast, he was talking about how people pay more for a print, one single print of a piece of art, they'll pay like $10 for. And it only costs like a dollar or less to make. And then, you know, you put all this time and effort into a comic, and people won't even pay $3, $4, $5 for it. And that doesn't even cover shipping, you know, if you're going to ship it. But even at a show, you know, people have a hard time paying $5 for it sometimes. Or, you know, they'd rather download it for free. Or download it for a couple bucks or something, you know. So it's really crazy, you know. And you put all that effort into a comic, and all that time and you know, money. It costs a lot more for supplies unless you're doing it all digital. But somebody will pay $10 for a print, so, or more, you know. People sell prints for $60, you know, I've seen, even up in that range. And, you know, it depends on the quality and the profile, how high profile the artist is and this and that. You know, you can do kind of a limited print run of like 50, 20, 100, sign them, you know, there's different kind of levels to how prints work and all that, but still, even if you sell a print for $3, $4, you're going to make a profit, because it only costs, you know, it usually, you know, for maybe the higher end prints, yeah, it'll cost like $5, $6 maybe, more or less, to do a print. But for people, you know, more on the lower end of the spectrum like myself, you know, you can get them for a dollar or less. So, you know, you're going to make a crazy profit. But at the same time, you're selling them, you know, you got to sell a lot to make a decent amount still, but it's crazy. It's interesting. But my point that I'm trying to make and kind of roundabout getting to is, us as artists, we tend to think kind of more high highly of what we do than maybe we should. It's so crazy. It's such a crazy, like, thing, because, like, we don't think, we're highly critical of our stuff and say our stuff sucks, but then at the same time, we spend a lot of time working on it, and we're super precious about it. And when it comes down to it, on a marketing standpoint, what we do is really the lowest end of what, you know, where the money flows. Like, there's been a lot of people put, kind of sharing these, like, charts of, like, even indie publishing on a book or something. Say, somebody who's really popular and sells, like, 10,000 or more copies. They're still, if you're dealing with any kind of company, like, even if it's, like, image or something, the creators who spend the most time on in heart and blood and sweat and tears creating the thing, they still get such a small percentage of the money that it almost doesn't even matter. Like, they pretty much are working for free. You know, if they're, like, super popular and they're indie, like, you know, Walking Dead, which is, like, one in a million, obviously, you know, you know, Kirkman's gotten to a point where he's leveraging these things, and I'm sure he must make a lot of money. I mean, he's got a show, a TV show that, you know, each episode plays like its own movie. You know, he's got to be getting some kickback from that stuff. He's got tons of products out there. This is just with Walking Dead, with that property, and then he's got like 10 other comics that he writes. You know, it's crazy. So he's doing well. But he's like one in a million. Nobody, who else is doing that? He's probably, his comic, I don't really know, you know, the numbers and stuff, but his comic is one of the number one comics out there. Especially for indie stuff, which people would argue, is that really indie? I don't know. But it kind of is. He's even got his own, like, sub-label under, or imprint under Image Comics, you know, so he's as indie as you can be without being 100% indie, I guess. But the point is, the artist, and he's a writer. He doesn't even do the art, you know. So the point is the creative team gets such a small sliver of the money, you know. And if you look at it as the art in this industry, it seems like super unfair, you know. But if you look at it in other industries, that's par for the course, you know. The people who create, put together, ship, package these products, you know, they make anywhere from less than minimum wage to, you know, someone like me, I make about $15 an hour, you know, and I don't produce the product that I do at my job, my day job, but you know, I work in a warehouse, and I ship it, I deliver stuff, I put the package together, you know, but we buy it from people, you know, we buy our, we're like a Walmart for our industry type of thing, sort of. I mean, not even close to as big as Walmart, but the point is we, you know, we buy stuff from people who make it, and I'm making $15 an hour. How much are the people who are actually, you know, in these production places getting paid? You know, they're probably getting paid around 10, maybe more than me. They might be making $20 an hour still, or 25 even, if they work on like a machine or whatever, you know, whatever. But still, that's low end of the spectrum stuff. And then there's obviously the salesmen and the CEOs and the higher ups and the, you know, branch managers and things like that. They make obviously more. So, you know, and that's kind of how industry works. You know, the people who make the product are always on the lower end. The people who sell the product make a lot more, and they don't spend their blood, sweat, and tears, you know, to create the product. So, you know, it's crazy. And then, you know, we come to the art thing, where, yeah, we kind of think our stuff's crap and it sucks, blah, blah, blah. You know, we're our harshest critics sometimes. But on the other hand, we think of ourselves as we should get a bigger part of the pie because we put so much work into it, when really we're just at that same level as, you know, some person out in like one of these other countries who get paid like below minimum wage and stuff. Or maybe that even happens in America, I don't know, but you know, corporations, that's why people hate corporations, because they take advantage of people. Sometimes. And I don't hate corporations, actually. I'm not in that bandwagon, really. Or I shouldn't say bandwagon. I'm not trying to insult anybody in their thoughts and beliefs, political or whatever. But the whole point is the whole corporation thing and just how industries work. You know, we, and I do it myself a lot, too. You know, we tend to kind of think a little more highly of our position. And as it should, because it is different, you know, than just being somebody on an assembly line putting pieces together, obviously. There's so much more craft into it, you know. But we just got to know that when we're making these things, we're making something, and it's just really another thing, you know. How many comics are there out there? How many CDs and albums are there that people make? You know, we're in a huge sea of infinite possibility, you know, selection. And when we make this stuff and nobody cares, you know, we really shouldn't feel bad, because we're in this huge ocean that it's like, you know, you shouldn't expect to make a ton of money off of this stuff, you know, without really working hard on all the other stuff. The production of these things is way, it's just a small part of it. Once you produce the product, the real work, that's like 10%. The real work is getting it out there, getting people to see it, getting people to care about it. That takes a lot. It really, we should probably be spending a lot more time on that, you know, not just going from project to project, but, you know, going to one, you know, putting, you know, as much as we can into one project, and then really putting a lot of work into the marketing and just getting, even, I shouldn't even say marketing, but just getting people familiar with it, getting people into it, introducing it to people. And hopefully getting them to really latch onto it and love it. And then, you know, and the reason why I say this too is, like, I've been inspired a lot by, like, Paul Kijiji, again, of processdiary.com. Like, he is focusing, laser beam focus on one project. And that's where, you know, this whole internet thing is making it awesome for us, because we can be that person producing a product and at the same time producing content that is publishing out there and getting people to care about the thing. And we need to take full advantage of that, but that's just the tip of the iceberg. We have to find other audience, you know, reach out to more and more different audiences and things, and find ways to, like, a lot of people have hang-ups about, you know, okay, I put my drawing out on Facebook and Twitter, but should I really, like, get it on, you know, DeviantArt, Pinterest, and like, all these different other sites? Should I, you know, am I annoying people? Am I being spammy if I put it on this Facebook group and that Facebook group? And lately I've been kind of like, even though I do think that a lot and have a hard time with that myself, I've been taking an I don't care attitude, and I have been going at it, and because we don't push our stuff enough. We're so afraid to be spammy that we don't push our stuff enough. You know what I mean? And we're so precious about this that we spend too much time trying to refine these things, and we just don't get it out. We don't reach out far enough, you know, unfortunately. And we need to realize that it's okay to push. You know, there is a point where it becomes spammy. But I don't think any of us are coming anywhere close to that, you know. And if anybody is, you know, in the people who I work with in this community, maybe I'm probably more than most people, you know, spammy. And if you look at my stuff, do you think my stuff is spammy? You might, because you're in a lot of these same groups. You know, a lot of us are all in all these same groups. You know, we friend each other on Facebook, Google+, Twitter, Tumblr. So we all see it. DeviantArt, Pinterest, we see this thing like a million times. But at the same time, there are people in those all those different places who only see you in that place. You know? So to some of you guys, I might look spammy. But to some people, they might only hear it on the podcast, you know, or only see it in the newsletter, or see it in just one or two places. And that repetition is a good thing too, but it can get to be too much, so it's tough. But the thing is with these more popular, you know, properties, like movies are really a good example for us, I think. You know, if you have cable and you go on certain sites often, blogs and stuff, you know, even going to movies, if you do certain things, especially if you're in the mainstream realm of content consumption, you are going to, when it's, you know, when somebody's driving a campaign, you're going to hear about their thing from like a million different angles. They're trying to hit you from every angle they can. You'll go to McDonald's and, you know, your kid will want a Happy Meal, and they're selling that product, you know, for that same property. You know, everywhere you go, every store you go to, you're going to see all these little ads and stuff. They put a lot of money into that. You know, my whole point in all this is we're a little too worried to be spammy, and we're a little too precious with our end of the work, you know, with the art part. And I understand that we should be, to a certain extent, because we are crafting things. We're trying to make beautiful pieces of art, profound pieces of art, things that make a difference in the world. What we do, you know, is treated, you know, kind of not too well by these companies and stuff. In fact, really badly, like by the big companies and all that. We should get more respect for what we do, but don't overestimate the respect we should be getting, you know? Because just another perspective is the whole production line of things, you know? So, I don't know, I've kind of beat that up, and there's probably a little bit better way to kind of talk about it with more, you know, better terminology, you know. But, you know, I'm new at this talking thing with this kind of stuff, so, you know, kind of be patient with me, please. And like I said, I don't want you to think that I'm trying to diminish what we do. I think what we do is an amazing thing, especially when it's done well. But even if it's not done well, it's pretty amazing to just put together a comic book or something, or to put together an album, or, you know, we're embarking on some kind of lofty goals, you know. Even if we just do it for the fun of it, you know. These things are what make life good, you know, is either making them or, you know, consuming them. You know, there's a reason why we like to go to movies and we like to watch sports. You know, sports is primarily an entertainment thing, you know. Like I said, like, this entertainment thing, this creating content, you know, it provides that, you know, the escape, like I always talk about, and And I think there's, you know, there's learning to it. There's, it puts high concepts into kind of more like edible bites or whatever, you know. Instead of just like taking a bite out of a raw potato, it's, it tastes a lot better when you kind of prepare it, you know, in different ways. Hopefully that metaphor makes, you know, sense and stuff and isn't too cheesy. But I like the potato metaphor. I've used it before. So, anyways, that's about it. That's my thoughts for the week. Wow, I didn't really go into updates for the week. Usually I do that right at the top, but maybe I'll see. Let's see if I can think of what's going on. I guess last weekend was kind of cool because I happened to have, you know, a real decent amount of time to kind of work on stuff. But it's funny because I worked on something, came up with something really cool, but I had like five other things I was supposed to do for people that I didn't do. But I ended up just going with something that I made out of thin air, which was basically this painting, and I should be newslettering that out today, which is Tuesday, and this podcast won't go up until maybe tomorrow, we'll see. Maybe not until next week, who knows. But I did this locust painting, which if you're listening to this, you hopefully or might have already seen. But it came out really cool. It's definitely my best, like, painting to date. Watercolors on these 5x7, they're really cool. These, like, 5x7, like, palettes or whatever. And they're just, like, cardboard with canvas, you know, on them. You know, these cheap things you can buy at, like, some places like dollar stores or Walmart or something. I got mine at Ocean State Job Lot, which I don't know how far that reaches, but it's like a discount Walmart kind of thing. But they have some good cheap art supplies there, and I'll sometimes get like a sketchbook or something from there. I got these little canvas things, and they're really cool. You know, I just drew it out in pencil and then went in with the watercolors and then went over that with ink, and it came out cool. It's like this locust, kind of a little different style than I usually do the locust, especially with the eyes and the face. It looks more locusty and less humany, and that was fun. And then also, you know, I kind of really went, not crazy, but like, you know, I put a lot of color into it. And then I went over it with ink, which was kind of tough. That's one thing, is it kind of sucks because I really want to do it and I like it, but working on canvas with these like ink pens is really hard to do. So I might have to just use brushes, but I kind of like using the ink pens because I can get in tighter with that, and I'm not as good with the brushes. So we'll see. It came out good, but I might be ruining my pens by doing it. But, like I said, it came out really good. Probably the founder of the Shadow of the Locust, which is my crew, he is probably will buy it. Because he tends to buy all the locust things I do, and I'm like, you don't really have to buy it, but he wants to support, you know. Because I feel bad selling him something that's kind of his own idea. But anyways, he will probably end up buying it, and I might sell prints of it, or we'll see. We might put it on the Locust page to sell prints of it for the crew or something. But it was cool to make it, you know, and it's actually one of those things that's a little bit tough to part with because it came out really well. But that's another thing, you know, trying not to be precious with this stuff. I've been making a lot of things, original art, and then selling them out. I was a lot more reluctant to do that a long time ago, but now that, you know, scanning things in and having your own copy is, so much easier. You know, you don't have to be so precious with that stuff. You can make a print and put it on your wall. It's not 100% as good as having the original, but still, you know, at least you have that, and it makes it a lot easier to part with these things. So, but I used to make stuff and be like, well, I don't really want to sell it. I want to keep it, you know, because I made it. I put a lot of work into it, and it's cool, you know, but now I'm kind of cool with just letting it go. So, yeah. Other updates, I did some Google Hangouts this weekend, so that was cool. Not a lot of people came. I'm finding that it's kind of quiet sometimes on the weekends on the internet, weirdly enough. But, you know, people are actually going out and doing things instead of being at work and trying to find things to do. So, or trying to find distractions. But, you know, so a couple people came by, hung out. Some people tried to hang out and they couldn't. Sam X over at Ghetto Manga.com. Go check his site out. He's got awesome stuff. He tried to sign in but wasn't able to. Trey Jackson, which I don't know his website. Sorry. I'll try to throw it in the show notes. Tyler Owens had a good time hanging out with him. That was fun. Jose, people know him as Gonzalez, but Jose Gonzalez, he hung out for a small amount of time, but his internet connection was a little tough. He showed me some stuff he was working on though. It was really cool, and I showed him stuff I was working on, and he's been a long time listener, friend, and all that on the internet, so shout out to him. And I'll put his link in the show notes. I forget his. He's got a bunch of sites, and I don't remember which one is probably the main one he'd want me to point to, but I will point to them, or one of them at least, on the show notes. But a lot of us know him already and are connected with him. So yeah, a bunch of people. Some people tried to get on but couldn't, and so that was that. But yeah, shout out to you guys. Thanks for coming on. And shout out to everybody who listens to this podcast. And, you know, my only call to you guys would be, you know, point of action or whatever they call to action. Is if you're not already subscribed to the newsletter, please subscribe. Like I said, I put out, usually it's a piece of art and a little description or something. And it'll be different things too. Oh, I didn't mention also the big update. Another really big update is Peter Palmiotti of PeterPalmiotti.com. He did an interview with me this weekend. And it's a video interview, but it's also going to be audio on his podcast, which is Independent Road Podcast. But if you go to my website, plexhop.com, it's one of the first blogs up there. And, you know, you can check out, it's like a half an hour interview. And it really is a good nutshell of kind of what my journey in art, pretty much from start to finish, from start to now, you know, in a real small nutshell. But then we talk about influences and stuff, and we get into a little bit of our things we like about comics and all that, and a little bit even about the industry and stuff. And it was really cool to be on that show, and it's been a while coming, and we finally got to it, and I'm glad we did. And I'm gonna have him on as well. There's a lot of stuff I'd love to talk to him about as well. So hopefully I'll have more time to do these Google Hangouts and do these interviews and stuff, because you know, that's also a fun way to put out this podcast. So look forward to that. Like I said, PeterPalmiotti.com. And that's about it. Man, there's so much more. Another quick shout out. Jesse Acosta just started a new Facebook group, Mini Comic Swap Meet. So go check that out. Finding out now, I'm going to have to put a lot of links in the show notes. So we'll see how long it takes for me to get this out. But I will sign off. I don't want to, you know, labor you guys with all these crazy, like, things too much. hopefully you enjoyed the show. Went on a few rants, but I think I had some cool stuff to talk about. And if you want to continue in the conversation, please come to the show notes and comment or email me at plex@plexhop.com. Marshall Plex on the Twitter, and you know where to find me. So we will talk to you next week, and thank you again for listening. You guys are awesome. Later.